Your Bible's in Acts chapter 1. I want to read the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 1, a follow-up on Easter Sunday. The title is, What Do We Do Now? Hope After the Resurrection. In verse 1, the author, of course, is Luke. He says, The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, they beheld. While they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Let's pray together. Lord, we do love you and thank you for today and thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you bless as we look at it and consider what happened after the resurrection. And the Lord, help us to, even as the apostles were after his admonition and instruction, were busy about the work of the Lord. Lord, that we might indeed be busy about doing the things that bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. We'll give you the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. What happened after the resurrection? We know the events of the weeks prior to this. We know, of course, that Jesus came to Jerusalem on the Sunday we call Palm Sunday. He was received, and they said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. They said that this is our King. Not a week later, they were crying, Crucify him, crucify him. He was betrayed, of course, by Judas, denied by Peter, abandoned by all but John, the beloved, tried, convicted, crucified, laid in a grave. He was in that grave 3 days and three nights. Christ said, I have the power to lay my life down and the power to take it again. Christ was not murdered on the cross. Christ laid down his life for our sins. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He paid for all sin for all men for all time on the cross. You know, I think the news media today portrays sometimes too many things that we should not hear and see. I see some things come on, and when they have to come on and say, warning, the video or the information you follow could be too graphic, then it probably is, and they shouldn't be showing it. But they do. And sometimes it just kind of makes my stomach just kind of churn when I hear about some of the horrendous things that individuals in this world have done to others. But think about our holy Savior hanging on the cross, paying for all sin, for all men, for all time. In doing that, he had to consider in his holy mind the most heinous acts we can think of. And he had to consider our lies, our deceits, our laziness, and the other sins that we might but he rose from the dead 3 days later. They came that Easter Sunday morning, and the stone rolled away, and there they went, and the grave was empty. They didn't roll the stone away so Jesus could get out, because he was already gone. They rolled the stone away so they could see he was gone. First the ladies, and then Peter and John. And then others went to see the place where Jesus lay and say, he is not here, he is risen. So as Luke writes the book of Acts, we know this because of the first verse. If we go to Luke chapter 1, we see he's talking to Theophilus there. Luke chapter 1, we see that, Acts chapter 1 here, we see that Luke lays out some things for us. What should we be doing after the resurrection? Is there hope after the resurrection? Sometimes it's something exciting happens. Maybe like our teens with the rant we had on Thursday and Friday. And by the way, rant doesn't mean they hear and just made a lot of noise. Rant stands for revival amongst Newfoundland teens. And decisions were made. But sometimes in the busyness of life, we sometimes forget about the decisions we've made. And we've all done that in service, been in a revival service or a preacher preached, and the Lord spoke to our heart, and we made a decision in that moment that we should have. But we get back in the business of life, and somehow that decision doesn't seem near as important as it was in the midst of that meeting. The apostles now, as we get here, have come to a place where Jesus is going to ascend to heaven. But what do they do now? We come to the time when the Easter season is over, that we're getting now into spring. You can tell that from looking outside, we're in spring. And sometimes we forget, and we go along with our life until next year, never giving a lot of thought to Jesus Christ and the old rugged cross. What do we need to do? Let me give you a first thought. We need to remember all the good things God has done for us. Remember all the good things that God has done for us. Luke begins this portion here in Scripture. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen. Remember the good things God has done. We can go back through the Gospels, through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The record of the work of Jesus Christ here on the earth. And we go, if we read those, understanding these are not Bible stories, these are historical events. I was weird over this weekend and saw Miss Sutcliffe over at the nursing home, and we're talking about our teens, and I said, I'm telling the teens a lot of Bible stories on Wednesday nights. She kind of instructed me a little bit. You know, she'll do that sometimes. She said, well, remind them they're not just stories. They're historical events. And I said, you're right, Miss Sutcliffe. They are historical events. All these things that, you know, we have the record in the Gospels. The work of Christ did not finish at his ascension. Notice all the work he began both to do and teach. The work in the Gospels was only the beginning. It was 33 and a half years of his life, and probably 4 or so years of public ministry was just the beginning of his work. Jesus Christ is working today. Christ said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. At the end of the book of Mark, it says of the apostles, they went everywhere, the Lord working with them. God has chosen you to continue his work today. Look at the end of verse 2. He gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now we have to understand that this word chosen, some of these things, people go off on some tangents on these. Let me just consider some scripture verses. I've got four or five of them here. In John chapter 15, verse 16, Christ said, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain." Christ said, "I've chosen you, I've ordained you, I've commissioned you," speaking to the apostles here, "that you should go and bring forth fruit." John, 1 Corinthians 1:27. "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." I'm glad that God chooses the foolish and the weak, because that includes all of us. Now, it's not, he doesn't talk about fools here, because that's a different thing. But foolish are those without proper education, without the sophistication of society. 2 Timothy 2:4, "No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that it may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." 1 Peter 2:9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." I find it interesting, each time the Bible talks about chosen, it talks about we are chosen to display the benefits of salvation. He has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. He did not choose us to be saved, but he chose that when we trusted Christ as our Savior, that we should display the benefits of salvation. It should be seen in our lives. See, God did not go down through the population of the world and say, "Okay, everybody count off by sevens. The one, twos, threes, you're damned to hell forever. Fours, you're going to be saved. Five, six, and sevens, you're damned to hell too." That's a monster God that would create a population that has no chance at all of ever trusting Christ as their Savior, because they are chosen to an eternity of torment. That's not what the Bible talks about. Here it says they're chosen. He gave commandments on the apostles whom he had chosen. Remember the good things God has done for you. The second thing we need to remember, remember the instruction of Christ. Verse 3, "To whom he also showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." 40 days. These were 40 very busy days. 40 very productive days. As Christ was with the apostles day by day, sometimes in Galilee, sometimes outside Jerusalem, he knew that his days were numbered. He knew that it was very soon that he was going to ascend up to heaven. He knew he did not have months or years yet to work with the apostles, but he only had 40 days. And we see the instruction. I don't think we begin to see the fullness of the instruction that he gave the apostles during those 40 days. But understand that Jesus Christ instructed them the last words of Christ. You know, in John 21, we see Peter. Peter, like he always does, gets himself in trouble. He always opens his mouth and says things, but Peter, of course, had a hard time. He, in the upper room, Jesus said that all of you are going to deny me and flee. And Peter said, "No, not me. I'll never deny you. You can kill me. I won't deny you." And he said, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." Peter said, "That's not..." And then he was there and he denied, and denied Christ. I think this is my opinion. I think Peter was angry with Christ for letting himself be arrested. Remember, Peter's the one that took up a sword and cut off Malchus's ear, and then Jesus put his ear back on. I think he was upset. I think he's upset, said, you know, after all I've done and you're going to treat me like this, forget it. I don't even know you. We often do things in the heat of a moment, don't we, that we regret later on. Peter did. They were at the Sea of Galilee. Peter said, I go fishing. The others went with him. So they came back to shore. Jesus had fish and bread both there waiting for them on the coals. There's a great catch of fish. We won't talk about that, but Christ centered out Peter. The other 10 were there. Judas, of course, had died. The other 10 apostles were there. And so, right in the middle, Peter was the oldest of the apostles. He was the leader of the group. And Jesus Christ, in the middle of all of his friends, of all those, he looked at Peter and said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? 3 times he asked him that. Went not so much to look at Peter. I mean, look at what he said, do you love me? But what did he tell him to do? 2 things we see there. He says, feed my lambs and my sheep and follow me. Feed my lambs and my sheep and follow me. You see, the Christian life and what our responsibilities to Christ are not complicated. Peter asked about John, and he said, don't you worry about John. He says, you don't worry about anybody else. You just worry about your relationship with me. And that's good advice for us too, isn't it? Sometimes we want to spend so much time correcting others that we don't take care of correcting ourselves. In John 21:25, and says, there are also many other things which Jesus did, which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. We have the 4 Gospels, and the 4 Gospels present 4 different pictures of Christ. And John ends up his Gospel saying that I was there, I was with him for 4 years. I was with him there at the crucifixion. He didn't leave, he stayed there. I was with him for 40 days after the crucifixion. And I've only written, if you will, just a sketch of what happened during those 4 years. Because I suppose the world couldn't contain the books of everything that happened. One day in heaven, we'll see, we'll know the events that took place. The third thing we need to do is to seek strength and wisdom in the Holy Spirit. Seek strength and wisdom in the Holy Spirit. Being assembled together with them, this is back in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jesus is outside the city of Jerusalem, there on the Mount of Olives. In a few moments, he's going to ascend up to heaven. He said, now, when I go to heaven, I have a responsibility for you. The first thing I want you to do is I want you to go back to Jerusalem, and there I want you to wait for the promise. What was the promise? Over and over, especially in the book of John, we find that Jesus Christ talks about the Comforter. And for John 14, verse 20, 16, he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. John 15, 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you, even from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. They go back to that same upper room that they were in before the crucifixion. And they wait. And they pray. One day, 2 days, and then the crowd grows. It's not just the apostles, there's the ladies that had gone to the tomb. They were there with them. And then the crowd grows, and over 8 days they're praying and they're waiting. Why? Because Christ has said the Spirit of God is going to come, is going to descend upon you, the Comforter. So I'm going to go, and the Comforter is going to come and abide with you forever. Why? Because when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Bible says the Spirit of God comes and lives in our hearts and our lives, convicts us of sin and righteousness, helps us, guides us, gives us wisdom and direction in our lives. For 8 days they wait. I don't know about you, but I don't like waiting. I don't know how patient I would have been during those 8 days. Because we knew something was going to happen. Jesus told them, wait for the promise. It's going to come. Didn't come the first day, second day, third day, fifth day, seventh day. Wait for the promise. Why? Because we need the Holy Spirit of God for strength and wisdom. The fourth thing we need to understand is we need to follow Christ's instruction. Just before the ascension again, when they are come together, they ask him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and of the uttermost part of the earth. The apostles, their theology was a little confused here. They believed that Jesus Christ was going to, in the next little bit, restore the kingdom. He would sit on the throne in Jerusalem. That he would take his place as the descendant of David on the throne. They didn't know about this church age that's been going on for almost 2,000 years. And they said, are you going? I remember the apostles, I mean, James and John come to Christ and say, you know, when you have the kingdom, you know, let us sit on your right hand and left hand in the kingdom. And then everybody else got upset with him for asking that, I think, because they asked first, and they were thinking the same thing. But he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father put in his power. He said, you don't need, you know, there's some things we don't need to be worried about. Jesus said, you don't need to worry about the time when the kingdom will be set up. I get so upset with people that are always setting dates. One fellow said, well, the Bible says you can't know the day and the hour, but I think you can know the month and the year. A guy wrote a book, 88 Reasons Why the Lord Must Return in 1988. He didn't write a sequel, 89 Reasons Why I Was Wrong in 1988. There was a book written back in the 70s, 20 Reasons Why the Present World Cannot Last Another 20 Years. It was written in the 70s. But in case you haven't noticed, it lasted. There's some people who get so caught up in prophecy that they forget what we're supposed to be doing here while we're waiting for the rapture of the church. And that's what Jesus said. He said, don't be concerned about that. He says, it's not for you to know that. But, verse 8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and at the uttermost part of the earth. You have a great commission. Don't be concerned about that. Don't be concerned about this timeline. Don't draw long, ornate charts and graphs about things. He says, be busy about taking the gospel to the world. That's what you need to do. If you focus on that, you'll have plenty to do. You want to be concerned about all these other things. Now, I think prophecy is important. I think we've got to study the book of the Revelation, Daniel. I understand that. But we can't get so focused on that we forget the main thing is the Great Commission. Follow Christ's instruction. Don't worry. Don't focus on things you don't know. Focus on what you do know. Four times in the Gospels and here in the book of Acts. Christ said, Mark summed it up, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The fifth thing we have to remember is Christ is now in heaven. When he had spoken these things, verse 9, while they yet beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by in white apparel towards heaven. Christ is in heaven. What's he doing now? Psalm 110, verse 1 says, he's seated at the Father's right hand. The Lord said to my Lord, set thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. You know that's the most quoted verse in the New Testament from the Old? Psalm 110, verse 1. Sit thou at my... Why? Because God wants us to know, God wants to understand that Jesus Christ today, he is not in the grave. He's not in some kind of intermediate state. Jesus Christ today is ascended up to heaven. The apostles saw him go. He's ascended up to heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Why at the right hand? Two reasons. First, it's the seat of authority. We talk about a right-hand man. If Jesus Christ is placed in the seat of authority, also the right hand was the place of honor. The Father sought to honor him by sitting him at his right hand. He's seated at the Father's right hand in heaven. We also know that he makes intercession. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'm glad my Savior is in heaven interceding for me. I'm glad he is. Because I do a lot of foolish things. I know you don't. But I do. And I come to Christ and I say, Lord, it was wrong. I should not have done that. And he intercedes with me before the Father. Time after time, over and over and over again. You know what? He never tires of it. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's seated at the Father's right hand. He makes intercession for us. And we know as well, according to John chapter 14, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus went to heaven. And he said, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. But let me ask you this morning, are you prepared for that place? Jesus loves you so much, he died on the cross for you. He paid for your sins, every one of them, past, present, and future. And he said, right now, I'm in heaven, and if you'll trust me as your Savior, I'm preparing a place that you cannot begin. You know, our hearts, our minds cannot begin to comprehend the glory of heaven. We can't begin to comprehend this place that he's prepared for us. But are we prepared for that place? That's the question. Not only do we have a prepared place, but we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He advocates for us. He intercedes with the Father for us. Remember, Jesus Christ is now in heaven. Our last thought. Remember that Jesus is coming again. Verse 11, it's the angels, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Verse 12 says, then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives. Jesus is coming again. In Thessalonians it said, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus is coming again. I don't know when. We don't know the day or the hour. We don't know the month and the year. But we know that everything was completed. Every prophecy necessary for the coming of Jesus Christ was fulfilled in 70 AD with the destruction of the city of Jerusalem, the temple. Everything was finished. If you look at the apostles and the writing of the apostles, they did not believe, many of them, that they would die. They believed the Lord would return before. Even so, come Lord, they believed that Jesus would come. But we grow complacent in our day. What do we do? Jesus died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again the third day. He was with the apostles for 40 days, and here on the Mount of Olives we see in the book of Acts that he ascended up to heaven. Now what do we do? I think the first thing we see here as we looked is focused on the good things God has done for you. He said, look back. He says, Luke said, the former treatise have I written. Think of all those things that Jesus did. Obey the instructions of Christ. It's pretty simple. The instructions of Christ are not difficult to understand. I mean, a little child can understand the instructions of Christ. Seek wisdom and strength through the Holy Spirit of God. Let the Great Commission be your passion. Remember, Jesus Christ is in heaven now for you. He's seated at the Father's right hand. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's preparing a place for you in heaven today. Live expecting that Jesus will come today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heads bowed and eyes closed. No one looking around.